Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Jess, and I am freaking out about this interview today. You guys, we're just going to get right into it. I'm so happy you're here. Let me first just actually say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my freaking soul for listening to the show. It means the world. This community is so lit. You're all located all over the planet. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of you dialing in every single week to absorb, take in, receive these magical conversations that I have, not just with my amazing guests like the one I have today, but when I come on and speak heart to heart to all of you. And I know why. I know because you're all freaking amazing. You're rad, wake, remembered, conscious, brilliant women who are walking the path of light workers and goddesses and the matriarchal codes of women who were always designed to fucking lead this world. And we're all coming together in this sacred web. Even though we're not maybe connected in real life, we're all connected through the show. And when I close my eyes, I just see this beautiful weaving of all of this power and all of this light and all of this limitlessness. When we come together, when we link arms, when we do this work, when we spiritually hustle from love for humanity, knowing that we are safe to receive, we shift the world, we change the world, we uplevel the planet. So do not take your role here for granted, because I don't. And I don't just mean your role here as a listener of this podcast, but your role here in humanity. All right, today we have somebody that I consider a true sister, one of the most brightest, powerful, brilliant lights I've honestly ever met. She actually came into my world as a client, and it was really amazing because I was sitting there in her VIP session and she was talking and I was like, can I be your client? Don't you love when that happens? I was like, yo, you're a fucking master. And her codes and my codes are different, which is why we came together. But I really cannot say enough about Danielle Amos's mastery when it comes to stepping into becoming a millionaire. She is otherwise known as the Mystic Millionaire Mentor. She empowers ambitious, high-performing women just like you across the world, across industries, to unlock their full potential and really, truly achieve transformative results when it comes to manifestation. Now, she's one of Bob Proctor's proteges. I don't know if you know who Bob Proctor is, was. He sadly passed, but he was one of the OGs in the world of quantum mechanics, manifestation, iconic thought leader of generations and decades. And Danielle was his top protege, worked right underneath him for years, eventually alongside him. And then she left to spread her own wings and has changed the trajectory of all of her clients when it comes to their financial abundance. And that's because she really understands timeless wisdom, timeless codes, the universal laws. She's going to really unpack them today. I cannot express, if you guys are interested in growing your wealth and really understanding the game of like how all of this manifestation, energetic, mindset, alignment shit works, like everyone talks about it, Danielle literally lives it and has created an empire and so much impact in other women's bank accounts because she's got the codes, okay? She really knows how to take very practical guidance with spiritual alignment that leads to profound change. She's really here to wake up and remember her collective community. And I'm so excited to bring her work into my community, all of you, because all of us have so much potential to step into extraordinary wealth when we learn the game and how to play it. And if you're going to play the game, you might as well play to win, as I like to say. Not only is Danielle a sister and a teacher and a mentor to me, she's also a fellow pilgrim to Egypt. She's now been twice. She was just on the heels of coming back from her first trip when we did this interview. She just took a whole other group to Egypt just a couple weeks ago. I was following along on Instagram her entire trip. I know you've learned so much from me talking about Egypt, but now the both of us get to go deep on it and really give you a true, even deeper understanding of what is possible in that country. Maybe going to Egypt isn't in the cards for you, and that's fine. But what truths live there so that we, meaning Danielle and I and others who travel to that place, can come back and provide and teach as many people as possible. That's what my entire book, The Lightwork, was founded upon, was that spiritual pilgrimage that I took to Egypt. And so we go deep on that. We talk about how she built a $1 million business without a website. We talk about some universal laws of truth. I share a very vulnerable story in this podcast. You're going to definitely not want to miss that. One of my favorites, honestly. You guys are going to get so much gold out of today. And so without further ado, here is my amazing, amazing conversation with the formidable, one and only, magical, mystical Danielle Amos.
Okay, so my favorite part of having a podcast is getting to have an excuse to invite my absolute favorite women into my home and be with you in person. It's just the biggest gift to see you again and to have you here on my podcast. So welcome to The Spiritual Hustler, Danielle.
Yes.
So good to be with you.
Yeah, so good to be back.
We spent time. I feel like I just saw you a few months ago when you were here.
But life has...
Life for you, girl.
Awesome leap.
Has certainly changed. You went to Egypt. You changed your personal life around. Like, a lot of things. We'll get into it all. But before we do, I want to ask you my first question that I start every conversation with, which is, what are you currently spiritually hustling for?
My next level, I'm trusting what's coming. And so I'm really practicing being in the moment and responding from my next level self, my highest truth, to everything that comes my way. I feel like, you know, Wonder Woman, how she has those bracelets? I feel like I'm Wonder Woman, like, and not reacting, though, in a way of from survival like I used to. From the place of ultimate truth that life's happening for me. There's nothing wrong here. It's for my growth. And that's the intention. That's how I'm living life right now.
I see it. I feel it. That's the ultimate feminine unlock. So you teach and help women become millionaires as the millionaire mystic that you are. And we're going to talk about how you do that for others. But I want to start telling my audience like what I find to be one of the most fascinating data points about you, which was that you built your multi-million-dollar business without a website.
Yes.
And in a world obsessed with like funnels and online presence, and like you were able to not play that game and go straight to expansion and abundance. So I want to start with your story because I think it will really anchor us into your teachings. But like, how? How did that happen?
First of all, I didn't think it was that weird until you pointed that out to me.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, no. Wait, like, people use strategies? Like yeah. They need actual tools to make millions of dollars?
So this would have been 2017.
Okay.
And I was very much in the material that I teach, and in that, it's about creating an inside world that you believe in and that an identity that I was becoming. And so I was very much focused on being a product of the product, creating that inside world, and then knowing the truth that when you do that, your outside world changes and you attract the people that are ready for your medicine, essentially. And so I did that. I followed the model and people were coming, and then I was making a difference in their lives, and they were doing it, of course. I was showing them the way, the mentorship, and it was word of mouth. And so I would help one woman that she'd, you know, 10x her income. Everyone would notice what was going on. And then people would come from her workplace or her family or friends, and it grew like that. And I mean, the company I was with, Bob Proctor's organization, and they offered us websites, but to be honest, I mean, we could fill out the template, but I was like, eh, it didn't feel good. And I'm not that techie, so it felt like too much work. And I was like, people are just hearing what I'm doing, so why does it matter? And I focused on service and being the best version of myself for my clients. And it never crossed my mind that I needed a website.
That's wild.
So essentially, I didn't need it because I believe that you get what you believe. And so if I would have believed that a website was essential or this funnel was essential, I would have needed it.
Yeah.
I didn't know any different.
And it's kind of the beauty of naivete.
Yes.
It really does lead us, I think, into such gifts when we're not really playing the game we don't know we need to play and coming from our intuitive gifts and service, which you so have done and still are doing. And one of the most powerful things I think about your message, which makes you so unique, is that you really anchor into self-image. It's clear that you had that for you, and now this is a total foundation to your work. So what does self-image mean? Why is it important? How does it relate to manifestation?
So self-image is your perception of self, and not only your perception of your own self, but how you believe others view you. And it is like an identity. And I think a lot of people use those words back and forth. But for me, the identity is more specific to the roles we play. And I believe we have several identities. Like I have an identity as a mother, as a business owner. You have one of a dog mom. And so each one of those identities have a self-image within it. And it's locked up in our subconscious mind. And it's something that unless we understand that we can create, it would be something that was programmed into us and that we habitually show up that way in that identity.
Mm.
It really does put us in a box, and it controls what we attract into our lives, the opportunities as it relates to that identity. And we won't outperform that self-image because we'll hit the parameters of that box. And so the incredible thing about self-image is that when we realize that we don't have to show up the way we were programmed, that we can actually create our self-image and write it. Now, I believed in the beginning that we created, and it's something that we do as like a conscious exercise. And now I believe that we remember.
It's my favorite word.
Mm. And so although it feels like creation, because I write who I want to become, however, I believe that your higher self's having you remember. And the way that I teach people is like, if you admire someone or a quality in another person, like what I admire about you, how you show up, Jessica, online, and how you impact so many people, I can write that quality. It's not that I want to copy you. That admiration is showing me what's actually inside me to develop, and my higher self showing me I'm ready to bring that quality to the table. And that's a big part of self-image, is recognizing what your higher self showing you. And then I can write that out, and then I consciously become her or embody her. And that's an exercise, and that's something that we have the freedom to do.
So you tactically, just to like break it down into like the details, like you journal, you write down, is it a practice that you recommend people do daily? Is it a full narrative that you write out? How do you work with that part of the reprogramming process?
Yeah, I love this because this is the how we actually apply to our lives and make it something that's tangible. And this is what I'm all about. The first step is to do some research. So really think about who you do admire and make notes of that and be very specific about the qualities. And because we can admire someone for one part of their life, but perhaps we don't resonate with the other, and that's okay. So being very clear on that, and then thinking about, okay, so this is how Jessica shows up on her podcast. I admire that. And what would it be like for Danielle to be this confident, for example, and in Danielle's way? And so then I'd write that, like consciously think about it. And this is the thinking that I believe a lot of people avoid. This is the deep thinking.
Totally.
And so the writing causes that thinking. And so journaling about it and contemplating it. And then you want to go in your mind and actually visualize it. Like close your eyes and say, okay, so as I'm showing up like that confident, like what does it feel like? What's my posture? What are the words that I'm using? And I took it even one step further. And I would then think about specific scenarios in my life. So now I'm on the podcast with you. So what does it look like for me to show up in my confidence, you and yours, and us collaborate together and actually write it out like a movie? It's easier to embody when the moment's here. And I've done this for events that, for circumstances in my life where maybe in the past I haven't showed up my best self. So being disappointed with my daughter, for example, and in the past I reacted and I want to respond for my goal achieved self. And I can use an example of a woman that I admire as a mother. And so then I write that out. So then my habitual way would be to react to Eloise in a certain way. But now I have it written out how I could respond. And I've rehearsed it in my mind. And so when the moment comes, I might screw up. And I have a future memory that I created and practiced in my mind that I can step into. And so if I do screw up, I can like ask for a do-over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
It's huge. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
To work, and it's so worth it. And so for me, that's how I collapsed time, and I became this version of me that then attracted completely different results. And my outside world changed so quickly because I did the inside work and I took the time to do that. So that's like the work that you do, like the homework.
Yeah.
Stuff, right. But the daily work then is then to decide to be her. So today I had to decide, look in the mirror. And I journaled before I came, set my intentions of who I'm being and showing up for you today and your audience. And that is the daily self-image.
I have so much to say. This is, first of all, thank you for the tactical breakdown. I think that's so super helpful. But what is also coming through is just how empowering it is of a practice and a method. Because we're all sitting in a projection field, right?
Yes.
I mean, look at social media, just the world we're in is so much different than it was 30, 40, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, where we can see everyone else's lives. And it causes a lot of comparison and defeat and imposter syndrome and jealousy, like not pervasively, I think, in my community, but it's a reality.
Absolutely.
And when you really look in a reflective way at your own projection and expand your heart and consciousness that it's possible because someone else has this, not impossible because she has it and I don't. It's not only rewiring your own programming and stepping into your highest version, but in my view, one of my values is, as everyone knows, is sisterhood. Yeah. And really linking arms and understanding we all bring to the table something so beautiful and valuable on our own and in service of each other. It's like women empowerment, in my view, in action and on steroids, like what you're talking about. It's so beautiful to dissolve those negative self-projections as much as outward projections and take your power back by looking around and quote-unquote comparing, but in a positive way that you get to, not comparing, it's not the right word, but to take that as a expansive activation for you to co-create within yourself. I just think it's very healing, actually, to hear you say it.
It's beautiful. And I think we could take it one step further. And what I encourage the women in our community to do is to communicate with those that inspire you. So if you see a woman on the street, you know, like she might be walking across the road and she's really fabulous in what she's wearing. And often we could be like, who does she think she is? You know, the old
paradigm.
Yeah. And instead, notice what inspires you again, what catches your attention, because I believe your higher self is making her a little more sparkly in your view, because not everyone maybe noticed her, but you do. And so notice what you notice and then communicate with her. Go and like, hey, girl, like, love your pants. Like,
yeah.
Love your outfit. You're inspiring. And then take it back to you. So I'm inspired because that's actually who I am. That same quality that I admire is who I am for others.
Mm.
And embrace it. That's what we're meant to do.
Yeah. It's so new earth. It's so new earth quantum love and oneness. Like, to me, it checks the boxes of helping you show up into your highest self, honoring another woman. You both get to rise. There's no divisiveness. It's an opportunity to really come home to the truth of who you are in like the most micro of moments by communicating. Like it makes you feel so alive whenever, because I'm that girl, I'll like go across the street and be like, you look fucking fabulous today. Like
keep
that,
rocking.
Keep rocking it. And like, it gives me a high, you know, that's just, and as it, you know, does for her, and to really recognize, and what you're saying, Danielle, that these are opportunities that are so much bigger than like a cool, like girl feel good moment, but like it's actually bringing you more into who you're meant to be. Okay, you talk about, speaking of who you're meant to be, you have a whole thing around the Empress. You hold the Empress codes, girl. Because we talked about this when you were here in my home a few months ago, and it's so rich the way you speak about her, and it's different than anything I've ever heard. And so can you share what her codes are? Speaking of self-image and embodiment, how we can bring this frequency into our lives?
Yeah, so for me, the Empress represents the activation and the evolution of the different queen components. So this goes back to tarot. And so for me, it's important that we don't just focus on one area of your life. So we do crack the wealth code. I think that's imperative because we get to, abundance is your birthright. So that's one aspect. Also communication and relationships. And for me, the Empress is that. She has elevated from the queens and gone through her journey and become the queen. And then one step further is bringing all those four queens together to embody the Empress. And I love the symbolism of it. And I believe that it's like that wise woman who lives life and uses her circumstances to transmute who she's become, you know?
All right, my friends, if you are listening to this podcast, I know that you know that the Matrix is bullshit. And yet it has gotten its hooks into so many of us, looping us into stress and scarcity and survival. And I can say this because I speak from deep experience. But here's the truth: your cells, your body, your systems, your life was built for brilliance, not burnout and fear. It is time, sister, to deprogram the deep programs that have been running your life for most of your life. And Microflow microdose mushrooms is your key. Now, these are high vibe, organic, Reiki infused blends designed to support your nervous system, your menstrual cycle, your psyche, and your physical body in breaking free from it all. Microflow isn't just a magic mushroom microdosing company. Microflow is different. It is a soul technology. It's founded by Christy Nault as the only cycle-syncing microdose protocol made for women to balance divine masculine and divine feminine energy on the market. The Exude blend activates your radiance, heart-opening, bold expression, and full aliveness. I love to take Exude during my follicular and ovulation phases of my cycle. And then there's Surrender, which softens your system into deep rest, healing, and fertile reconnection. And I love to take Surrender during my luteal and menstrual phases. Now, if you want to tap into even higher states of consciousness, pick up a bottle of Theta with Egyptian Blue Lotus, which Christy says, and I've experienced this personally working with it, is a portal not into 5D realms, but 7D realms. When you use it in ceremony, channeling, ecstatic dance, or breath work, trust me, you are going to have an unforgettable life-changing activation. And when you purchase Theta, you're going to get Christy's full 4-hour guided breathwork experience for free. Microflow isn't about escaping. It's about alchemizing your life, your business, your relationships, your health, your vitality into more freedom. I would not have the life that I have, the business that I have, the team that I have, the body that I have, the marriage that I have, and the joy that I have if it wasn't for using Microflow consistently every single week of my life for the last 3 years. So visit microflowhealing.com now and use code Jessica10 at checkout for $10 off your order. Visit microflowhealing.com today. to pick up your blends. And do not miss Christy's free 2.5-hour microdosing masterclass. Your sovereignty begins now.
I'm obsessed with archetypes. I love the queen. I use the queen a lot in my messaging and in my communities, and the priestesses of, you know, ancient times, and then the Empress code, which every time I think of Empress, I think of you. And then, of course, like all the goddesses, and the goddesses really came online for me when I went to Egypt. And I know you just went to Egypt, and we haven't talked about that trip at all. Like, I saw it and I could feel it. I watched your stories like a stalker. Yeah. And I know very well what it's like there, but everyone has their own unique experience. It is a remembrance,
yeah,
a total homecoming. So I just want, I don't even know where to begin with, because there's so much to ask about it. But if you were to, we'll get into it, but if you were to sort of surmise like what that trip was for you, like what it represented, if there was one kind of key transformation.
It was profound how different I felt on the other side. My first major experience was at the Isis temple. And I, like you said, when we started this podcast, that I'm going through a lot of life changes. And it felt like before that there was a lot that I was having to hold, and I was anticipating this change and it was going to be challenging. And in the Isis temple, I felt the urge to sit down and put my hands on the ground, and all this energy moved through my entire body, and I could feel it going out my hands. So it was like, and a lot of emotion came through, and I couldn't leave. I missed the sunrise. I was just, I was there and I stayed there. I could feel, I had so many questions about that temple after, because I was like, something happens here. Like, there's healing, or people come and they're upset when they come. Like, I could feel myself releasing trauma and like so much emotion. And it felt like even emotion that I hadn't yet felt through my separation. And I surrendered and I gave it to the ground. And when I got out, I felt so powerful. Like, there is nothing, and I'm getting full body shivers, like there is nothing that can happen to me in this physical world that can actually damage me because of the truth of what and who I am. And so all of these outside things that I was afraid of, losing money, having someone take something from me, the truth is that's not possible. That was the first experience that I stood up. Like, I had like strings to the heavens. Like, I had wings. Like,
yes,
it doesn't matter. Like, any circumstance can happen, and I will stand taller, more in my truth, and that there's nothing to fear. And so that's how I've lived my life since Egypt. And it's honestly incredible. Like, my lawyer was supposed to call me or text. He's like, how come you're not freaking out? I'm like, there's nothing to freak out about.
Wow.
Like, the perceived threats aren't threats. They're not real.
So fucking amazing.
I've had people who know in my life what's actually going on behind the scenes. And they're like, my best friend said to me today, she's like, you are the most resilient woman I know. Like, she knows what's happening behind. And other people have said, like, how are you still smiling? It's this knowing, this remembering that I experienced in Egypt.
It changes you, man. I mean, the very first chapter of my book, The Light Work, which I wrote all about that trip, was I am new, because that was the only way I could describe how I felt when I came back. I was a new, total, complete version of myself. And the codes that you get in these temples, the fact that you said you were hands on the earth, like they're alive, these walls, these floors, these ceilings. I mean, they have frequencies and codes in them. And I too had something similar in a sense happen in the Isis temple in Philae, where I felt her. I had actually almost like a full on DMT activation and felt like I was on true medicine, and I was sober. And she really could feel my pain at the time. And I walked out of, there's a photo of me where I am stretching up like this under her arches because I felt like I had just been reborn after just being in her chamber for however long that was. And I just love this message of nothing can take that away from me. It's really the truth. And that's what Egypt is the remembrance and the homecoming back to truth. And now you get to share that truth with so many of your beautiful women in your community. Thank you for sharing that. It really, I could talk all episode about Egypt. And I think there's a big call for women to go. And I know that you're going back and you're leading this pilgrimage, and I'm sure you're going to be leading more pilgrimages. And I have yet to go back. I want to go back so bad. I want to go back like dozens of times. But do you want to share a little bit about the pilgrimage that you're planning and what people could expect going with you?
Sure. So I've partnered with Danielle Laporte as well, and Joey, yeah, as our guide. And I wouldn't do it any other way, to be honest.
Totally.
Yeah. The insight that Joey gives is incredible. And then Danielle Laporte has a huge heart.
She does.
And so the three of us, I believe, is a really great team. And I have intentions to help with activations because there's lots of travel time, and using my background in NLP and hypnotherapy and all I know about the subconscious mind. So I'd like to prepare the women before the temple and then help them integrate and remember the truth. And so there'll be additional practices around that and around the codes that they receive so that they're walking and standing in those integrations and really moving through and processing what they experience. We're doing the same mystic journey, so the mystery school journey that Joey takes us on in a specific order, and really honoring that. The conversation or the intention is for us to bring leaders around the table so that we can have very conscious conversations about what it means to be in this work in 2025 with the new earth and the evolution and everything that we're going through in the world. So very intentionally spending time around certain topics at dinner. You know, we spend quite a bit of time on the Nile.
Yes.
There's time around the boat. So we'll have many masterminds, if you will, on the upper deck, by the pool, by the dinner table, making sure that we're using our time wisely, also giving lots of time to relax and integrate. The connection, and really believing that the women that are on this trip are specifically meant to be there together because we've most likely danced before in Egypt or elsewhere, and helping each other remember that truth. And I want to do some self-image work, and similar to the projection as well, where we're anchoring in what we see in the other women and we can reflect that back to each other.
Unreal. I wish I could go. I can't in May, but I will hitch a ride and do time. I promise. You said something about NLP and the subconscious work, and we talked a little bit about the way that we rewrite and, you know, reprogram. You shared with me when we were together more about the universal laws. I remember like going like, what? Like, it was like pure codes coming out of you. And I know that's a, you know, large foundation of what has led you here. So can you break actually those down for us?
Well, what came up right away was the law of opposites. It's one of my favorites. It's the law of polarity. I don't believe a lot of people understand it. There's a lot of facets to it. So the easiest explanation is that everything has an opposite. It's the two ends of the same stick, if you will. So if you think hot, cold, we won't know hot if we don't know cold, up, down, inside out. This is a law that exists in this 3D reality. It's not in 5D. So when we come here as spiritual beings into our body, it's a law that we want to understand. And we came here to experience that, and the relativity as well. There's a law of relativity, which is like a similar thing, but like small, big, that kind of thing. But the law of opposites is important because often when we're manifesting, attracting things into our lives, we say we desire, we connect to what we desire. It might be more money, but the opposite must come in first. And usually it catches us off guard because we don't understand the actual law. And so if it's the same stick, we're experiencing a spectrum. And so if you want abundance, then lack needs to show up first. So we say we want abundance, and then all of a sudden we might get a phone bill that we weren't expecting, or a stop by the police. And it's for us to experience that feeling of lack so that you can feel what abundance feels like. And so we might be doing our manifestation techniques or whatever we're taught, and I'll have clients say, it's not working. I just got this bill, rather than a new client. And I'm like, it's actually working exactly how it's meant to, because you need to know what you needed, the reminder of lack in the moment when you're on that new frequency, so that you can understand what that abundance and prosperity feels like.
Yo, okay. Can I share something? Yeah, really, vulnerable. In fact,
your eyes just went like.
Well, I mean, fuck me, because I'm putting this together and I was not planning on going here. I mean, it's very personal, but just to exemplify what you just said for my audience to hear. So we just launched the Feminine Frequency Business School. Huge success.
Congrats.
Thank
by
you.
The way, it's amazing.
Thank you. It's my crown jewel. I love this program. And we had a goal of like 55 to 60. We sold 67. Like, it was like this massive, massive, beautiful launch. And I was feeling like so abundant, so excited, like the universe rewarded me. About 3 days later, we got a massive unexpected tax bill from the IRS. Like, panicking. Say what you're going to say.
Okay, so it's perfect.
Right.
Because, oh gosh, I have full body shivers. This is so perfect. It's like you want to celebrate that tax bill.
Okay.
You're like.
Say more. I'm following.
Yeah, because, so great. It's easy to feel abundance when all these clients come in.
Right.
Easy. That's not leadership, if you will. That's
totally.
It's not awareness.
Exactly.
It's easy to do that. Anyone can feel abundance and celebrate in that. The truth is, or the true flex, is you being able to feel abundance and know your absolute truth, that abundance is your birthright. Prosperity is always there when you get that bill. And so you can see it as the law of opposites coming right on time for you to hold that frequency of prosperity, celebration, abundance in your full body with that bill. Because what you attracted in with those 67 clients is actually just the smallest little taste of what's possible for Jessica. It's so small, actually, that what you want to do is like this tax bill, you're like, cool, no big deal.
Right.
Like, actually, let's add a zero to what I just attracted into my life. Let's like 10x that, because that's where I'm going. And this tax bill, yeah, it's peanuts. Compare it. And this is where you can use another law, is the law of relativity, and make the tax bill look small. In your mind, when you got it, we could even feel your energy. It felt big.
Yeah.
It's not big or small. It's bigger. Using the law of relativity, it just is. Like, the tax bill just is. It's just a number.
Right.
You are making it big or small in your own mind because of what you're comparing it to. Maybe last year's tax bill. So let's compare it to actually what a tax bill would be, where you're going, Jess. That's the most you've ever earned in a year. Add a zero to that.
Mm.
And then that bill, it's like,
nay, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Let's do another law. Let's go through another one and I'll try and think of how we connect these dots. Okay, tell me another one.
Well, we all know about the law of attraction.
Uh-huh.
And the base law. The law of attraction is a secondary law. The base law of that is the law of vibration. And it's talked a lot in our world about that. But your body is your guidance system. So you always know how you're vibrating based on how you're feeling. Your thoughts lead to your feelings and your feelings lead to your actions. Your body is in, like, everything is vibrating.
Yes.
And everything here that we're experiencing in this 3D world is based on how you're vibrating. And so you want to keep that top of mind, because nothing is a coincidence. Nothing's a mistake. Every single thing from this beautiful candle here is part of our mutual vibration. Well, it's my manifestation and then your manifestation and I'm yours, you know. So understanding that you always have control, you're always responsible for your vibration and taking your power back, not ever letting it be because of something else. So if we go back to the tax bill for a moment, the tax bill, when you first got it, created a vibration in you because of your perception. And that's fine. It's like noticing it. Now, can I reframe and change my perception using a different law, like the law of relativity, to change how it feels in my body and take my power back and say, you know what? I went in my human, my 3D for a minute, and I thought that money was finite. It's actually not. It's infinite.
Infinite.
And as much as you can like get into that vibration. So you might need to like have a different conversation with yourself based on your conscious awareness and how much you can get into this idea that money is infinite actually. But then have a conversation, write about it, and then feel how it feels in your body. Okay, I believe that. And then in that moment, you start attracting more abundance and prosperity to you, more opportunities that have you feel that way. And it's like a moment to moment understanding how you're showing up.
Can I share that you'd be really proud of me?
Yes.
Because I was for 24 hours really dysregulated by it. And to be frank, my husband, he's more 3D than I am, which is a good thing. We're married. And so I feed off of his energy and he feeds off of mine. So his stress was, you know, compounded. And I was so clear that I had absolute agency and control over how I responded to it. And I let myself feel it, the stress of it. I'm human, but I had to feel it to heal it, to alchemize it. And then I got myself in a completely different mindset around how not a big deal it was, how achievable it is to not stress about it, that there's more money coming. But I was sort of thinking like what I'll manifest down the line so that I know this won't be a bother, but I changed my vibration.
Love it.
And a few days after that, we got an email from our accountant saying that, and we have, it's a long story, we have two accountants. We have one that helps me with our business. We have one that helps us with our family. And I hadn't talked to that family accountant in a minute. And we got an email from the IRS crediting us back, like almost half of it.
I just got shivers. Of course.
I remember that 3D, 5D flex of like, you knew this was coming, so you don't need to be excited about it. It's like, it was true.
Also, how you responded matters. You could have went down the rabbit hole of fear, and that would have been human of you and really like very understandable. And that's not the game we're playing.
Right, right.
We're remembering truth with a capital T.
Yes.
And so although we don't fault ourselves when we go down that human path and the 3D path, it's like, yeah, it's freaky. We get this bill. And there's a higher truth. And you allowed yourself to feel it, alchemize it, and do that. And then you remember truth. And so what I say to myself is my response to this right here matters. It dictates what comes next. Allow myself to feel it and then let it go. And do that as fast and with grace and ease and loving myself as I can. And then choose a response from truth, understanding universal laws, that truth. And if I can respond and hold that response, because you have to hold that energy, and it doesn't matter what your husband's doing. This is not his, like, he gets to do his thing. You are playing your game. And you respond, that then dictates what comes next. And you've just proven this. So half of it's forgiven or what, a refund. Nothing's final. That's what we want to understand, that this 3D world is like, it's like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
like I've had clients get a bill like that. And then a week later, they get a letter that it was a mistake.
Because of the vibration that they held.
In the response. But if they would have thought it was real and final and all of that and freaked out, they probably would have got another bill or something else to keep them in that lack vibration. And so I play with this like, so I love it. It's so fun.
100%.
Because then I'm like,
real.
Okay.
It worked.
And my response is like, of course.
Yes.
So when I get back that, oh my gosh, oh, they called me, it was a mistake. I'm like, of course it was because of how you responded.
I'm so happy we're having this conversation because I talk obviously a lot about money and manifestation and expansion. It's like, and through the lens of my take on spiritual awareness, understanding truth, understanding that we are limitless, like true. And that's my Pleiadian comes through, like, that's where I learned true limitlessness. And it's not I don't even like to use the word woo. In fact, I think the word woo diminishes what it means to be a conscious, awake, and remembered person doing, you know, new earth work. But it works. This is real. It's more real and tangible than 3D. Like, and it's just, I'm so happy we went there. Isn't there one called the Universal Law of Circulation?
Yeah, that's a money.
Can we talk about that one too? Sure. I'm just here to like get educated and inspired personally, but I know this is so good.
So money must be kept in circulation. And this is my logo is like an infinity sign. Mm. And it's a good reminder. And there's many reasons why that's the logo. One of them is that money must be kept in circulation like the infinity sign. And there is no such thing. This is why it's infinite, because it moves. I pay you, you pay someone who pays me. Like it's in and out and like a flow. We don't need to hold on to it. In fact, if you do hold it or hold on to it or put it in a jar for a rainy day, you're kinking your money hose.
Preach.
It must move. And money is energy. We know that. It's just appreciation in form of movement. So as I appreciate your service, I speak it in gratitude. I pay it through money because that's a symbol of appreciation in our world, our 3D world.
Yeah.
And then someone appreciates me. It's just like love. So do you've got your beautiful dogs. If you give more love to one, does that mean you don't have enough for the other? Or the more love you give to one, doesn't it feel like you have more love in your heart for your husband, your friends,
100%. All of that?
It multiplies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
The more you give it. The same thing with money. It multiplies. You give it as the same frequency of appreciation because that's what it is. And I think that that's a disconnect in our society. It's been lost. You give it with appreciation, gratitude, that feeling, thanks for the service, the goods that I'm receiving.
Mm.
And it comes back and you feel that from the person. And if you're not feeling it, thank them for gifting it to you, like giving it to you, because that will usually bring on raise their frequency to that as well. And it's like this.
It really is. Oof. Thank you for that. I really feel, I'm just thinking about my journey and my relationship with money, which for most of my life, I'm 43. It wasn't until I hit like 36, 37 that I really understood the frequency of money and started working with it. And before then, I mean, talk about a scarcity mindset. I was so terrified of money. I was in like broke consciousness because I'd actually gone broke when I was 30. And so spending $200 on something felt like it gave me anxiety and created like guilt and nausea. Like it was really low vibrational. And as I started to make more money, I obviously started to invest more money in myself. And it's like I can directly one-to-one name the pivot moment when I started pouring more money out. I had it, but how much more money came back? Like it was a direct correlated response of stepping into my own abundance to trust that I could spend money in a different way than like the $200, you know, clinch to like, I'm going to spend $25,000 on this mastermind that I technically can't really afford, but like I can. And then how everything shifted, not just in my financial life, but like everything.
There comes a point, I believe, in money awareness where you don't have to manage a bank account. I know it to be true. Where you don't need to know.
You don't even, you just trust that it's your provided for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And you're investing in things and spending money in such a way that you have confidence in yourself that everything that you pay from the $5 coffee or $15 coffee, let's be honest, but from that coffee to the $15,000, $25,000 mastermind, you do with such intention of that vibration of appreciation and gratitude, that almost puts your money through a filter that 10x's it, and that you know, because you have confidence in yourself, you know your own vibration, you are aware of how you're showing up, that there's no need to look because it multiplies anyway.
So, so good. Okay.
And it's so freeing. But for when you're listening, you know, when you're first starting out, it sounds like so crazy, like how that's not responsible, or how do you spend the money when you don't have it? Well, yet have it. I mean, that's exactly when you need to. And yet, I'm not saying go buy a Porsche when you're in, you know, when you don't have the money. That's not what I'm saying. You could, technically, with the laws, if you use the laws properly. And all each one of us has a bill that we pay today. We put money out every single day. So you have the opportunity right now to use the law of circulation and be in that appreciation and practice what I'm saying. And when you pay your $5 coffee, imagine it's a $50 coffee. Use the law of relativity in your favor. It's easy for you maybe to pay the $5 coffee. What if it was a $50 coffee? Would it feel okay? Or a $500 coffee? Would it still feel safe for you? If not, go, okay, what does it feel like to pay that $5 coffee? Oh, it feels fine, no problem. Okay, let's now add gratitude and appreciation, that frequency when you pay. Great. Then imagine, like hold yourself in that frequency and then transfer it. Now the bill is $50. Still okay, still feels fine. 500, and keep adding a zero, 5,000. And find your edge and then practice that. It's all energetics. It's all in the field that you're doing the work and the quantum.
Practice moving through that.
Yeah, in the feeling.
Fear and clinch and anxiety.
Yeah, until you can feel the $5 payment feeling.
Yeah, got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So I like to do this at restaurants specifically. It's a little bit easier to understand, right? So yeah, $100 bill, no problem. Now imagine if this was $1,000, $10,000. And I sign the bill as if it was $10,000, feeling what it feels like, no problem at $100.
I feel this in my body.
Yeah.
I do. I get it. Stepping into that safety.
Yeah.
And trust and truth that you could afford a $10,000 dinner. You can hold it. You're provided for. And that $100 has a different vibration.
And so the same thing when you're investing, the same thing with receiving. So the receiving. It doesn't matter how hard you work. I know you relate to that.
I totally do.
It is the frequency that you're on. So if you can pay those bills with appreciation, then it's going to come back to you and you'll still feel good at receiving, even if you spent the day at the spa.
Right.
You didn't bust your ass.
Deserve it.
Yeah.
Quote, exactly. Unquote. I do think this is a big point for a lot of women. I think receptivity is such a muscle that we're building because we're givers and we're people pleasers. And we feel like in order to make the money and earn the money, we have to kill ourselves and work really hard. And that is so antithetical to the truth of the capital T. And so let's just say, I want to kind of go through this like we did. You got a huge client contract out of, you know, let's say it's a brand partnership for like $75,000. And all the brand wants you to do is like 3 Instagram posts and 5 stories for the month, right? Let's just go there. Yeah. I'm working on getting those. Yeah. And I've had, like, you know, throughout my career moments where like it feels like too big and that there's something wrong here.
Too good to be true.
So what's the process to work through that clinch, that grip that we default to that we don't deserve it?
Recognizing that you absolutely do, because it wouldn't come into your life if you weren't a vibrational match for it. It's just, it's like not possible.
Yeah.
It's not possible. So give yourself the pat on the back. Like, this is who you're being, not from like an ego place, but like, this is who I'm being, you know? And
yeah. It
is who I am because it's in my field. It's in my experience.
Yeah.
And sit with that and allow yourself to celebrate that.
Totally, totally.
And spend time there, because I don't think we do as women.
Spend time there.
We brush it under the rug, like, you know.
Right.
No big deal. But like, no, let's own this.
Yeah, and make it sacred.
Absolutely.
Take a moment. Be in intention and ceremony around it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So first step, anchor it in.
Anchor it in. So good. And from there, you can open.
Yeah, and from there, notice what comes up. Like, if you have a habitual way of wanting to over deliver, like they might say 3 posts and you might be like, I know they said 3 posts or 3 stories, but you know what? I love to give value. So I'm going to go in and give them this extra thing and notice where that shows up. And that would be that paradigm.
Yeah.
One,
programming
over are, like, I don't deserve it unless I work hard. And I believe for most of us, and this is, I resonated so much with your story, Jess, because we've been trained that we have to work hard and give to sacrifice ourselves in order to please another person and or a company in this case. And it's not true. It's our being and our frequency, and that's what we get paid for.
Amen.
And that's enough.
I could talk to you all day long. I want to go through all the laws. We'll have you come back. This was like golden. I have a couple quick fire questions for us to close our gorgeous time together. So do you have a favorite spiritual teacher? I think I know the answer.
Bob Proctor.
Yeah.
If we can call him that. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite spiritual book?
The Buddha Within, Lama Suradas.
Love it.
Okay, that's really interesting. That was one of the first books I read.
It's always what first comes.
Yeah.
I love, for me, when I love the quick fires because it's just like you got to think and what's intuitively downloaded is what's meant to come through. Do you work with any specific or have a connection to any goddesses or deities or angels or any archetypes that you feel personally connected to? I knew you were going to say
Hathor.
Hathor.
Yeah.
She's my girl too. Okay. Do you believe in extraterrestrials? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
The answer to that. I knew the answer to that. I ask everybody. I just have to know.
Yeah.
Of course. Scientifically impossible. Uh-huh. And then my final question is, what does it mean to you, Danielle, to be a co-creator of the new Earth rising?
It is a very exciting time because we are literally creating heaven on Earth.
We are.
And oh, again, I was so full body shivers. Like what we thought was only available in the 5D of us experiencing bliss and instant manifestations is possible when we understand our truth. And for me, doing my own work so that I can walk and be that example for others and live my best life, no matter what's happening in the 3D, I am honored to come across this information for myself, to be obsessed with it, to attract other people that are in this world that can have conversations like this, like you, Jessica. I feel so blessed. And I believe that this is our birthright. This is our God-given. This is why we have universal energy, infinite intelligence coming through us so that we can co-create. And it's time. Humanity's been ready for this. And so I'm honored and I'm like, let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe it's why we came here. This is exactly why we're here.
Yeah. Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'm honored you came on my show. I'm blessed to be in your presence. And I know my community is too today. So thank you for your beautiful codes and for being in my life. I love you so much.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Deep bow, sister. Deep bow.